News, weather, sports, and traffic to get you off and running. The KPAY Morning News continues now.
All right, just past 8 o'clock on this Thursday morning, we'll have sports, weather, all coming up. Local headlines as well this half hour. Hour 3, off and running. But we do want to welcome in. Been trying to get him on, but we know, been busy, hitting the ground running as he's taken over the position of city manager for the city of Chico. Welcome to the KPAY Morning News, Mark Sorensen. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Very happy to be here.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time because we know, just keeping up on things, what's been happening in the city. And boy, you came back with a lot going on, Mark, so welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely no shortage of activities at the city of Chico. That is for certain. And here in week 9,
yes,
I think we're doing really well.
Well, bring us up to date a little bit because we know that with the cleanup, especially, let's start with the homeless situation. With the cleanup of the city parks and just the right of ways and such, it was going good, and then all of a sudden it got put on hold for a second as the advocates wanted to have a meeting with the magistrate judge. He seems to have agreed with the city of Chico that the city's doing what they can to help out with sheltering and such, so the cleanup is once again started up. Do you have more that you can add to it?
Well, not a lot. I mean, you're right. That did hold us up for a month that was lost where we could have made a lot of progress and gotten some more folks off the streets and into better living conditions. But we are back incrementally moving, you know, just as quickly as we can. And, you know, just so some of the listeners know the magnitude of some of these cleanups. Comanche, of course, one of the biggest ones we had to contend with. During that cleanup, we removed over 1,000 cubic yards of material. Just an amazing, you know, 147 tons, plus a couple of 40-yard dumpsters of metal and all kinds of hazardous household materials, you know, things like batteries and gasoline, propane bottles, all those kinds of things. So these cleanups take an enormous amount of staff time, not only from the public works folks that are doing the heavy lifting, but also the police who play a very active role in maintaining the safety of the situation.
Yeah,
so these are very large operations, and we are just getting ready. Monday, we will begin the cleanup of the Little Chico Creek Greenway from Highway 99 to Bruce Road, and then we'll quickly follow up with moving on to the next area.
Yeah, one of the I think points that the advocates had brought up was that, and some of the homeless said that when the task force and such are going in, maybe not being so forthright on what the qualifications were to get into the pallet shelter or maybe Torres or Jesus Center or some of those other things. So I assume that the magistrate judge agreed with the city saying, hey, yeah, they're doing what they can.
Because, yeah, exactly right.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Up to us to manage that situation. And we are doing exactly what we're asked to do under the terms of the settlement agreement.
When they look at when the magistrate judge looks at this, and I mean, I'm your party to it, of course. You're looking at the provisions that have been put forth in his directive. I would imagine it's difficult when the city knows they have a job they need to do and what they want to accomplish, but there continue to be impediments in terms of reaching that goal.
That's absolutely true. Very frustrating. But we will, you know, we have persistence on our side. We will continue as council is directed to move forward as incrementally and as rapidly as we can with these cleanups. Of course, we got limitations in terms of shelter capacity that could become an issue that may affect our speed later on in the year, but we hope not.
As we've talked, Mark, to others there at the city and other advocates, and even it's kind of the whack-a-mole. You know, you clean up one area, you move them on, but then they pop up and they're starting to pop in other areas. So that said, so you said the Little Chico Creek Greenway now, once again, that's the next major cleanup that's going to start up here?
It is, on Monday.
Okay. Let's, if we could, without getting into the legal nitty-gritty, we know that there's a group in Chico now that is brought forth. I think it's they filed suit, or they want to, or they're threatening about the 1% sales tax increase, Measure H, as it's known. Just to clarify, with what's going on with that, those monies raised through that sales tax, general fund money, Mark, is that what that is?
That is general fund money, so that will be entirely up to the city council as to how to allocate those funds. I mean, they've been very clear on their intent is focus on public safety and roads and infrastructure. So that that will be the direction that we go in. But you're right, it is general fund money, so it's up to the council to make those allocations.
When you look at the finances, when you came in and kind of opened the books and said, okay, I mean, are there obvious areas where services are significantly underfunded? I mean, I would imagine people are saying, wait a minute, what in the world do we need this for? I know we have services that are needed, but why do we need to do this? Are there obvious areas that when you look at the numbers, you go, okay, it's obvious we do need this?
Oh, yeah, there's glaring shortcomings, for example, in the police department. We know we're understaffed relative to the size of our community, particularly after the campfire. Things like road repairs. We know we're deficient. We know we're deficient on maintenance of street trees. We probably have 2 or 3 years worth of work in backlog just in that area. And roads, we're probably behind 15 years or so. So there's absolutely no shortage of places to direct those energies.
When you look at the monies that we had that the city received, the federal money that was given, we just got off the line with Paradise. They're saying, hey, we got $200 million from the feds to help us in our rebuild. But I know Chico got a massive allocation as well.
$12 million.
Okay.
But I think we submitted something on the order, and I'm just going by memory. I want to say something around $80 million in unfunded infrastructure projects. So we're very happy to get that $12 million. But again, we're behind in terms of maintaining our infrastructure.
Yeah, it sounds $12 million sounds like a lot of money, but it goes quick when you're dealing with those projects, right?
And a city the size of Chico.
Right. So it is it's defraying some of the costs that are required that you're going to need, but there's certainly a big expenditure that's needed in addition to that.
Yeah, there's no question. We're behind in many different areas.
Right.
So that would certainly give us the ability to improve our performance and do a little catch up.
So stepping back to this Measure H deal now with this group, what is their contention? What is their major? I know you can't really talk a lot about the nitty gritty, Mark, but what is their major contention with the monies trying to be raised? That because it's going to the general fund, that they don't believe that the council will spend it as where it needs to be, or what is their contention? What are they trying to say?
Well, you would have to ask them that question. One of their folks has spoken in the past in favor of sales tax, and now all of a sudden is against the sales tax. But in terms of the lawsuit, what that is about is, you know, of course, when you have a ballot measure, there's a hierarchy for folks to submit ballot arguments either for or against. And somebody, a local citizen, did provide a argument against, and the city clerk accepted that argument. And then the person who's now suing the city submitted a ballot argument and wants his to be used instead of the one that came in first. And procedurally, his submittal was flawed, and the statement also includes some false statements. So we believe that, and I think it's today, there's a hearing about 11 o'clock that we hope will decide that issue.
Let's talk again. Let's get back to some of those infrastructure updates and projects that are going on. We know that the widening of Cohasset Road out to the airport. Anything new on the airport and what's happening there with attracting service back?
No, I know that later, I believe it's today, the folks who are working on that very effort are meeting to kind of regroup. The airport manager has had contact with some airlines. I think there are four that have recently expressed some level of interest in beginning service. Of course, those are always long-range conversations that take some time to bring to fruition. We know that we would have to either the city would or an airline would have to make some improvements to the terminal to bring it up to current standards that are required by TSA and the FAA. So again, those are still happening, but nothing that looks imminent.
And Mark, we know recently that there was a major project that was voted on by the city council. And although it came on the heels of the planning commission kind of shooting it down and declining the project, can you kind of explain how the city council then can look? Do they look at the planning commission then just as a recommendation? And then I'm talking about the hotel project that's going on,
right,
32
right,
and Bruce. Recently, you know, the neighbors spoke up and said, no, we don't want this here. It's you know, with traffic problems and just population issues where it was. Can you explain a little bit how, if the Planning Commission declined the project, that then all of a sudden it can come back to the chamber and they can basically veto what the Planning Commission had done?
Well, they didn't really veto it. It's a land use decision. And those are supposed to be based on the facts, and the facts are related to our general plan and our zoning code. And the council found that the project was consistent with our general plan because, and again, you could go back and read the analysis that the city staff provided that argued those points, that the project was consistent with the general plan, was consistent with the zoning code. It needed a use permit just because it was something of a unique use in that particular area. So those are fairly common vehicles just to take a closer look at a project and perhaps design some mitigations that make it a little bit more palatable. And it's interesting, too, when you look at one of the arguments being traffic and you compare that project to some of the other potential projects that could go on that. I think it's roughly 4 acres. Apartment complex, I think it was 3 or 4 times the amount of traffic generation, some sort of a strip mall with offices was similar, 3 or 4 times the amount of traffic generation. So I think the council just found that the project was consistent with the zoning code and the general plan amendment. And what you're dealing with in a land use decision is somebody's constitutional rights to use their land as they wish. So if you're going to deny that, you have to have a pretty good legal basis to do that, or you can be sued for what's commonly called inverse condemnation, where effectively you've taken the usefulness of somebody's land. So you better have a very good defensible basis for doing that. And the council, apparently, based upon the vote, didn't believe they had that basis.
So when you encounter 2,000 to 3,000 residents who live in that area, it's basically just a personal decision for each of these counselors saying, well, we don't want to be sued by the guy that owns it because he wants to put something on it. So even if 2,000 to 3,000 residents who live in that area who are going to be directly affected by this decision, that kind of goes by the boards. That kind of doesn't really even matter if it affects those people living in that area. As deemed by, and you said city staff came up with a report that said, hey, it's not going to affect them. They may say it but it's not going to affect them.
Not that it's not going to affect them. Again, years ago, that land was worked into the general plan with a certain vision of its potential uses. The zoning code followed, which further defined those potential uses. Somebody buys the property for a lot of money, and then they want to do something that is consistent, you better have a good reason for denying them. And the council just apparently didn't believe they had that basis to support that conclusion. But again, that's their decision. So you'd have to talk to each of them to find out exactly how they came to those conclusions.
No, I think our listeners, and I think we all appreciate the clarification that basically the Planning Commission recommendation is kind of a recommendation. I mean, if they say no, ultimately the City Council, in their infinite wisdom, can make any type of decision they want, regardless of what the Planning Commission decides.
That's the process.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that is the process, which makes the Planning Commission's role a little ubiquitous. It makes it interesting because it really has no teeth. It's a recommendation.
It depends on whether or not somebody appeals that decision or not. I spent 2 years on the Planning Commission. I thought it was a great experience. You learn a lot about land use and those processes.
All right, Mark. Well, listen, we're gonna leave it there for this morning, but we appreciate your time, and welcome back. And, boy, you got a lot of work ahead. And we hope to have you on again, Mark, real soon. Give us updates on what's happening with everything City of Chico. So City Manager Mark Sorensen with Chico. Thank you again, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.